Hello and welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buholtz and I'm going to be your host today. Today we are joined by Devin L. Kurtz, who you may know as Tamborella. Welcome!
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. Like, we get to hang, but never on a podcast.
No, this is a first for me.
Yeah, it's the first time we've been on a podcast together and I'm really stoked about it. So, first off, where can people find you on DeviantArt?
You can find me at Tamborella, which is T-A-M-B-E-R-E-L-L-A. On DeviantArt.
Nice.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what you do and where they might know you from?
Okay. Well, if you've seen the show Disenchantment on Netflix, then I am the lead background painter on that show. I also am at a lot of conventions all over the U.S. pretty much year-round. I hit like 12 to 15 conventions, so if you've walked the Artist Alley at a major convention in the U.S., I might have been there.
And your booth is amazing.
Oh, thank
you. Your setup is like spot on.
Thank you. I'm very into the setup, the graphic design, the layout. I'm all about that.
Those are important things for an artist, so like it's appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, for those of you at home, you may hear a few like little grinding scrapings. Our neighbors are moving in upstairs and they are very passionate about the move.
Oh yeah, it's but you can feel like you're right here with us in the room experiencing the slow grinding noise of furniture across concrete.
We wanted this to be a real intimate setting, so welcome.
It's soundscaping.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, yeah. Getting those industry terms in there. Speaking of industry terms, lead background. What does it mean for people that don't understand that?
Sure, yeah. So in every 2D animated TV show, there is stuff that moves, and then there's stuff that doesn't move, which is the backgrounds. It's like whatever is behind the characters. And that is what I take care of on Disenchantment. So I don't do the drawing. That's a separate department. We have a design department who designs all of our amazing sets. And then they're actually kind of combined with the layout department on our show, which pass the drawings down to us in color. And then we have a color key team and a painting team. And sometimes there's some go between, like we don't have like a strict half and half on that. And we take those black and white line art drawings and we take them all the way to a finish. You know, we figure out what color every single thing is that you see in the show, including the characters and the props, which are things that move. So either the characters or like background elements that move, like cars, and you know, if someone picks something up and throws it, then we got to figure out what color that is too. So yeah, we just take care of all of that.
Nice. That's really cool. So before we get too deep into studio talk or convention talk, I have some rapid fire questions that we're going to go through.
Let's
get
do
you
this.
Nice and warm. And for those of you listening, you can submit your own rapid fire questions to be answered by future interviews on the journal below. Just leave your questions that you want people to answer. We'll say your username. It'll be nice and fun. So these ones were prepped by the internet.
All right.
Get ready.
Let's do this.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Morning person.
What is the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh my God. Strangest thing I've ever eaten. I eat eggs with jelly.
We're done here. What is the thing you're most afraid of?
I really hate heights.
I'm most afraid of eggs with jelly.
Okay, that's fair.
If you could get a yacht, what would you call it?
The Kira.
Oh, after your
talk? After my talk.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
7.
What is your least favorite beverage?
Most dark sodas.
Okay. What is your least favorite type of music?
Death metal.
Okay.
I know, I'm really uncultured. I'm sorry, don't hate me. I love you, death metal fans.
What was the last film you watched?
I saw Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, how was it?
It was really interesting. I love Taika Waititi's direction style.
Yeah, he's great. Gold or silver?
Silver.
And if you had to retire in any city, which one?
San Francisco.
Nice. That's a great choice. All right. How do you feel you did?
Could have been better. I would give myself like a C+, B-.
Nice. I'd give you an A.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Let's get into the meat of this, okay? I want to know about your journey as an artist. Like, where did you start? When did you start creating art to get you to where you are now?
So there's a you know, Twitter thing going around right now where you talk about like the last 10 years, you know, as we're going from one decade into another. And I think that like my artistic journey mainly began when I was like 12, 13-ish, because I always drew like for my whole life. I always felt like that was something that I was good at and that I had like a knack for. It was something that felt like it came naturally to me, and I loved it, but it was when I was like 12, 13 that I started like thinking seriously about what I wanted to do for a career. And I loved comics and I really wanted to work in comics or like on a TV show or in movies, just like some sort of storytelling related to art. So I started making comics back when I was 12, 13, because, you know, it's the only one of those three that you can really do on your own as a 12-year-old. Yeah. And I started getting really serious about it. I started like collecting references of my favorite characters from different like movies and TV shows, screenshots of them from like these websites that popped up where you could just like download screenshots from animated things. And I would, in my sketchbook, like try to redraw them over and over again. Like I would end up with these like sheets of faces and like, you know, character bodies. And I also started drawing observationally then. Like I would just like draw things in my house or like my cat or my dog. Like I got a kitten when I was 12 and he fell asleep in my lap one time and I just had my sketchbook there and I just looked down and drew him. And I didn't really know it then, but those ended up being like foundational exercises that built like my skill set that I have now. And I look back on that and like think about how lucky it was that I enjoyed and like stumbled upon those things that I feel like led me directly to where I am today, which is working on a TV show, which is what I wanted to do. So,
yeah. That's amazing that you had like such foresight at that young of an age. Like, I think that's really kind of cool.
I think I was in like a unique position to where both my parents are artists. My dad is a photographer and my mom is a graphic designer. And my mom was in college for graphic design when I was young, when I was like, you know, a toddler and to a little kid. And she actually like would let me play around with her tablet. And I did digital art like way earlier than I think most people did. And they always just like really encouraged me to pursue art hard if that was something that I wanted to do. Because, you know, they both had experience like running a business as an artist, which is not always an easy thing to do. And they knew how much like dedication and like time and effort it would take. And like, not in a way that pressured me, but I feel like just in like a real, really realistic way, they explained to me that like, if this is something that you want to do, you got to like chase it hard and just chase it as hard as you can and like love it as much as you can, because it's not the easiest path, but I think you can do it. And I think that really just set my sights on my goals at an early age. Yeah.
So with all those learnings, like what would you recommend to people who are looking to like pursue art as a business, where you might have that insight now that you could give them?
I think that if you're young, or really like if you're any age, then the most important thing that you can do is love it. And I know that that maybe doesn't sound like the most logical thing, but I feel like if you love it really, really hard and it's just like what you want to do and you wake up in the morning and want to do it and you go to sleep at night and you want to do it, if you nurture that love and take care of it and respect it, and like, you know, when you get overworked, you give yourself breaks and like make sure that that love is strong, then like everything else kind of falls into place, because it will take you back to it over and over again. You know, the biggest danger that I've seen for artists when they start hitting, you know, like 18 to 22, which I feel like can be a really turbulent time for artists, because it's from when you're going from having dreams that feel like they're real because they've been dreams for so long to like actually trying to, you know, make things happen. Like maybe you're going to school or you're trying to start a freelance career. Like it can be really turbulent, and burnout can be a major, major downside of, you know, trying to make this happen. But, you know, if you love it and you respect that love, then you kind of sidestep that completely, or at least for the most part. And I think that's been really important for me.
So I think you hit a really important part there with burnout. Like, you work both a studio job and you run your own art business. Like, how do you avoid burnout? Or what are some steps that you take when you like recognize that that's kind of starting to hit you?
Yeah, I just, so, you know, as far as my studio job goes, that's not something that I can take a step away from, obviously, because it's my, you know, it's my day job. You know, I have to be there, but, I have done things, you know, like I'm in a position at my studio where I feel really comfortable. You know, I'm surrounded by my friends. And also because I am a lead, there are things that I do that aren't always art related, which is actually really good for me. You know, like, you know, working with the other artists on the team, like critiquing work, organizing stuff for shipping, you know, those sort of tasks are things that I can do when I feel like I don't have, you know, it in me to do this last hour of work in the day. There's always other tasks that can be done. And then when it comes to my own business, like I did Inktober in October. And as soon as it was over, I felt exhausted because I'd been getting up really early, like earlier than I usually do, which is already quite early every morning, and staying up late. So I was running on, you know, like 5 or 6 hours of sleep every night, which every once in a while is not bad for me. But when I'm doing that every single day, day after day after day, I get really tired. And so I just gave myself permission to not make anything for a while. It's like, okay, I went really hard for a bit. You know, I chased down this goal. I finished the goal. I hit the goalpost. We're good. I'm just going to breathe and like watch movies and play with my dog and like go outside. I went and visited my parents, you know, just give myself permission to not be going at 110% all the time, or even 100% all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think something that a lot of people like to hear about too is kind of what the behind the scenes of that studio work that you do. Like, you gave us a little insight there. Like, you don't always have to do the art stuff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about like how a studio job is for you?
I feel like I'm in this unique position where I kind of have a foot in two worlds, because I run my own independent art business where I'm traveling the country doing conventions. You know, I run an online store a few times a year. You know, I post a lot and like have my own identity as an artist. And then I also do studio work. And I have friends who mostly do one or the other. You know, I feel like it's pretty rare to do both, mostly because I think long term it's actually not sustainable unless I really build structures around me to take to like automate a lot of the things within my own business. You know, I'm young and I have the energy for it now, so I'm doing it right now. And, you know, a lot of the people who are on the independent art side don't understand why I would do the studio thing, you know, like why I would want to like, you know, work for other people and like be in that environment and like, you know, not do my own personal art all the time. And then on the other side, a lot of people in the studio don't quite understand, you know, like why I want to travel all over and like get on planes all the time and like lose my weekends and that sort of thing. And I totally get that because I don't think it's for everybody. But like on the studio side of things, I like love being surrounded by my friends every day. Like I love like coming in, like we're a dog friendly studio. So like I come into work, my dog meets her dog friends, you know, in the lobby sometimes, you know, I go into the kitchen and like all my friends are hanging out there and, you know, we get our coffee or our tea. And then we obviously split off to go do art for the day, which, you know, is about what you'd imagine. I go sit down at a desk. It's a desk job. It's a fun desk job. I go sit down and, you know, paint or organize files or do whatever I have to. And then, you know, it's like a really great community. Like I love everyone in the room with me. We've built friendships over like 2 years now. A lot of us who've been working on the show for since it started production. And, you know, we stand up, someone will be like, did you guys see this article? Stand up across the room and everyone else takes their headphones out, stands up and goes, no, tell me about it. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's really cool that you found like that community, because I think a lot of artists end up finding themselves in very isolated areas. Like when you have to focus so hard on something that you're so passionate about and that you have to pour so much of yourself into, it's hard to have a place where you can also have kind of a surrounding environment that is interactive. A lot of people need to lock in, and sometimes that can be real isolating and real draining in its own way. So to have that community around you and those friends around you, that's got to be really special.
It is. It totally is. Like, I think I was my lowest moment probably in my life was when I was around 19, because I went to art school for a year and it didn't end up being the right fit for me. So I dropped out after a year when I was 18, and I was just doing the conventions and freelance and my own work. And I was just like home alone working all day. And I was really depressed. Like I would go out and see friends, but just not having any type of structure was really, you know, I was getting the work done. So that was going okay, but it didn't feel like the right type of environment for me. Like I really thrive when I am going to a place and like seeing people every day. Like I need to be social, and I think it helps me do better. And I've done more personal work with less time while I've been at a studio than I did back when I was freelancing and I actually had more time to do personal work, but my like mental health was so bad and my motivation was so low that I got less done, which seems like counterintuitive, but it's the way that it's been for me.
That's cool that you were able to identify that about yourself, because I think everyone does have a different workflow and a different way of recharging their battery. And you know, some people need that isolation, but when you realize that you, like you said, you were not being as productive even with more time.
Yeah.
It's really cool that you're able to find a way to like find the best fit for you to make that work.
Yeah, like I think everyone's different, because I have friends who like they would not give up the fact that they can go close themselves off in their office and do their like independent work or, you know, remote freelance career. They would not give that up for anything. They love that. It works for them really, really well. And they're good at structuring their life in a way that they still get all of the interaction they need to, you know, social interaction that they want. You know, some people are really good at that, but I just realized that like that I'm not, that I'm very driven and I like hyper focus on things when I have goals in mind. And unless I am forced to go to a place where I interact with other people, I won't, and I won't even realize that I'm like sequestering myself away.
Thanks for attending this podcast, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sorry we forced you to come here.
Oh my god. No. No, I mean like, you know what I mean.
I know.
Oh, Matt.
No. So let's get to the other side then, the cons and the freelance stuff. Your own personal business.
Yes. I mean, like, I've been doing that for the longest time now, because I got on DeviantArt when I was 12. Don't kick me off. I wasn't supposed to.
Come ups.
But
is that a siren?
Please don't arrest me. I promise I'm being good.
What if that was the penalty? We called in the cops. This is a sting. Thank you for watching.
Oh gosh. And you know, ever since I joined DeviantArt, I feel like I've been building this like community around my art, and you know, like people who want to see my personal art and like are very interested in the things that I do, and you know, I've like I focus on like growing my social media. It's like it's the same thing that any other business does, except for just like, you know, it's just me. Well, it's actually not just me anymore. You know, because I work a studio job, I've pulled in help. I have a really amazing assistant named PD, who if you've ever been to my booth in a convention, you may have met before. And I also like we bring in other people, other assistants for conventions, and we bring in people for, you know, shipping stuff. And I've got like a really awesome team surrounding me there now. It's really fulfilling for me to like be able to make and sell my own art. Like I love working on a TV show, and I love making things on a team with other people. And then I also have like an equally intense desire to like make my own things and be able to just, you know, also sustain myself that way. And that's been really awesome. I've grown my convention thing since I first did WonderCon in I think 2016. So it's been a few years now, and I have a really amazing community of people who also do conventions. A lot of them do it like full time, and like, you know, we see each other like every show. Like there are some shows I did Gen Con for the first time in 2019, and the community there is like amazing. I mean, I love all of those people. We got a big Airbnb, like this huge house that we all just like hung out at together and like made art, and we all run our own like independent art businesses, so that community is really cool too.
that's neat. It's like a summer camp, but
adults
with art.
Yeah, so some of those people like are on DeviantArt too, and like have had like RJ Palmer. Mm-hmm. He's one of my convention buddies, and Pete Morbacher. Mm-hmm. They both were with me at the DeviantArt Lightbox meetup.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It was so fun getting to see everyone at Lightbox.
Yeah.
Like, that was a blast.
Yeah, that was so good.
One of those moments where pull back the curtain on ancient times now.
Yes.
Like it was just more and more people kept coming in. And
yeah.
Like I was surprised as like someone running it to be like, wow, you know, here comes everyone. It was great.
So many people got their start on DeviantArt who do the independent artist thing now. Like I feel like DeviantArt was like really integral for a lot of people and building like the community necessary to sustain an independent art business. So
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of learning that you can get from DA. Like I know, like for me, even when I was starting doing graphic design work, like DA was a place for me to like really learn and get that feedback. So
yeah, people are just so like community oriented there, which is like what you need to build and foster. And like, you know, I try to like build and foster that on like Instagram and you know, other similar places too, but there aren't as many, like, you know, like, ways to do it. You know, there aren't, like, journal posts and stuff like that.
DA is kind of a nice all-in-one.
Yeah.
So with conventions, sorry, we've tangented
Much. Of course.
I have a paper with conventions. How did you identify that you had, like, a certain time in your career where you needed assistance? And when did you kind of, like, justify that to yourself?
After the first year of doing conventions, I by this point, I had a studio job also. Mm-hmm. And doing both can be really challenging, you know, because I try to, like, limit the time that I take off of work, especially now that I'm a lead, because, like, you know, I need to be there to give feedback and to, especially when we're, like, shipping stuff, which is often on Fridays, which is often a day that a convention is. So I ran into this problem where, like, I need someone who can know the ins and outs of this, who can, like, set up for me. And in many cases now, like, go and be, like, represent me as a face of the business at conventions. Be a, you know, liaison for me. Mm-hmm. So that at some shows, you know, at some shows I can just show up and be there and, you know, sell the product, but not have to do, like, the immense amount of work that it is to, like, you know, go get the stuff from FedEx if you're flying in, you know, take it to the convention hall, get it all set up, which for a 10 by 10 booth can be, you know, a full day. So I just recognized, like, I needed someone who knew how to do that and that I was building towards that. So I pulled a friend of mine in who was actually a collector of mine. And, like, we'd gotten a dinner a few times. We're, like, the same age, almost exactly. And, you know, we were at, like, kind of a similar place in our life, I feel like. And, like, we just, like, get along really well. And we have been working together ever since. And, like, PD knows how to run a convention without me. And then also knows how to run a convention with me and have me just show up, which is nice. And then also on times when there's two conventions on the same weekend, he can be at one and I can be at the other, which is also really great, you know, and we can pull in other people. So whenever there's a chance to do that, we often take it. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I think it's, art is so personal. It can be a real challenge to find that person that you trust enough. So that's really cool that you had PD.
Yeah, I mean, finding the right person can be a challenge, but I absolutely lucked out. I mean, like, we just, like, stumbled into each other. I know some people try, like, many, many people before they land on the right person to help them out. But we've had a, like, really great luck with finding the team and building the team. And I think, I think a lot of it is, you know, finding someone who's personable, who it is a customer service job, like, at the end of the day, like, and it's a very fast-paced customer service job. Like, at a big convention, you might have a line of seven people who all want something. And if the second person at the booth is in the bathroom or grabbing food, you've got to be running cards and talking to people and being really happy and, like, you know, thanking them for being there and getting them the right things and all that stuff. So there's that side of things. But then there's also, like, the immense logistics side of things, like getting the plane tickets and booking the hotels and, like, getting the stuff to be there on time. And if there's a convention 2 weeks in a row, then it's, like, you know, getting that 2-day shipment set up so that it's going from this place to that place to this place. And that is an immense amount of logistics too. So it really takes, you know, often that can split off into two people. I've been lucky to find someone who has been able to do both of those things for me. And we're working on picking up more people so that we can expand even more.
So as a convention / artist alley expert, what would, like, two tips be that you would give people who attend cons and like, want to set up their own artist alley booths or having problems in their artist alley setups?
Yeah, I think my number one tip is that, like, appearance is everything. And by that, I mean, like, the way that you structure, like, your physical booth or artist alley table means so much. Like, if your art is incredible, but it's on, but, you know, it's taped onto, you know, some really barren, like, grid walls with no tablecloth, like, people are going to walk by. You can increase your sales so, so much just by providing, like, a really clean, simple, elegant, well-designed booth. And that making that change is what, like, doubled my sales instantly for me. You know, having, like, a nice tablecloth with solid, recognizable branding. You know, we have reusable bags now. With our branding on it, we have business cards with the same branding, you know, just like presenting a really clean, like well-branded front that's easy to recognize and that captures people's attention, like that it's really, it looks the same from top to bottom. It looks like one cohesive unit because, you know, as people are walking by, you have to capture their attention in like 6 seconds maximum, you know, maybe like 2 seconds. You have to get them to stop as they're walking and glancing. So having that really cohesive, slick look helps a lot. And then I think the second one would be to not overschedule yourself in the beginning. Like, it's really easy to like get excited and be like, great, I just did one. Now I'm going to sign up for these seven. And one of them is across the country from me. And I would say like build up slowly and put more energy into each one early on rather than spreading yourself really thin and trying to hit quantity. Because if you make a really big, wonderful impact at each one, you will be able to conserve energy and still, you know, make the same amount of money because, you know, you have to think about, you know, you've got expenses for each show. If you spread yourself really thin and can't do as good of a job at 6 shows, you might make the same amount as if you did a really incredible job at 3 shows, and you'll have way more energy left at the end of the day to make art if you've just done 3.
Yeah, definitely. So you've already mentioned RJ Palmer mm-hmm. and Pete Moerbacher. Who are a few other artists that you really enjoy right now? They don't have to be your favorites, but who are ones that you're enjoying right now?
Like my friends or like just like people?
Any. Okay. Whatever you're currently like seeing and you're like, oh yeah, that's great.
Well, I always love like watching, like following Loish's career. Like mm-hmm. I feel like it's been really cool to see someone just like make a career out of something that is like so distinctly their own style and be so like warmly embraced by the world at large for it. Like that's always been really wonderful to see. I have one person who was actually in my, like who was like a patron of me for a long time, who was in the critique tier, who I was like critiquing their art, her art like a couple years back, who still reaches out from time to time and is back in like my streaming tier, which is Pixis, I think, Pixis Art. Who like her art has just grown so much over the last 2 years, 3 years. So that's been really amazing because she is like a teenager still and she's doing like such incredible illustrations. So that's been really cool.
What would the number one thing that you see young artists doing that they need to like invest more time in or like a quick thing that they could do to level up their art?
You know, I think like that depends so much on the person because I think people have weaknesses in different areas, but I would say like the main area that like I also struggled with when I was young that can really help is to just do more observational art, you know, to just observe the world around you more and to like do studies of the things you're trying to draw, because I think young artists will struggle for 10 hours trying to figure out how to draw something, you know, a difficult pose, you know, from their head, and they'll be like, oh, that's not right, and erase, you know, over and over again. And I did this too, when if you think for a second and go, hey, what if I got my friend to make that pose and took a picture of it and then drew it 3 or 4 times, or even better, take a video of it. You get it from a few different angles, you know, get some a few similar poses, draw it, you know, 3 or 4 times, like really learn what that pose looks like maybe open up like, you know, a human skeleton anatomy chart and like try to overlay like where the bones are in this pose and like really figure out, you know, like, oh, that's that muscle, you know, you'll get a better result faster probably, and you'll learn so much more. Like if you go through that process 10 or 11 times, you'll realize, oh my God, I understand anatomy in a way that I didn't before. So making that shift of like approaching things that way is when I see young artists like turn the corner and really improve quickly most often.
Are there any things that you're currently working on that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I actually, I have been planning something kind of big for the last year or so.
Oh, cool. Let's hear it.
So I'm going to be releasing a watercolor book in the summer. Yeah, it's going to be
awesome.
A collection of watercolor pieces of mine from like 2018 forward, which is like, you know, a new medium that I picked up in 2018 that I've just been like working really hard on. So I'm super excited about that.
Nice. And we get to hear about it first.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I like this. We got breaking news.
Breaking news, you guys.
We'll have like a little klaxon go.
All right. Yeah.
That's awesome. What inspired putting out the watercolor book now?
I just, you know, I really love learning new mediums, learning to use new materials. I feel like it actually like really expands my artistic ability because like each new medium that I learn like teaches me techniques that I couldn't do before. And I learned a lot when I started with ink during Inktober of 2018. And I really like heavily started getting into watercolor after that because it felt like a nice segue into it. And I wanted to decide on like making a collection because that is something that motivates me. Like I need to make the work for that. Like as soon as I decided that I was gonna do this, it's like, all right, great. Now that work needs to appear and it's not gonna appear out of thin air. So it like, you know, it forces me to keep going and keep practicing and like push through anything that is holding me back and just like get the work done.
Awesome. That's such a cool way to look at it too, because I think so many people latch onto like, I do traditional or I do digital, but there's so much that you can build off of each.
Yeah, totally. I love doing both digital and traditional. Like there's things that I feel like I'm better at traditionally and other things that I feel like I'm better at digitally. And I feel like they like feed into each other and they help me create like ultimately better art in both because I've got different skill sets. I'm practicing in each one, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Like, that's such a fun episode.
This has been great. Thank you for having me. I mean, we always like have good chats.
Oh yeah, always. It's a fact.
Oh yeah.
But let's wrap up by saying where people can find you online.
Sure. Well, you can find me at Tamborella on DeviantArt, or you can head over to my website, which is devinlkurtz.com, and that's Devin with an I, E-L-L-E, Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z.com. And then you can also find me, Devin L. Kurtz, on Twitter, Instagram, you know.
All over the place. Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you guys so much for joining. Make sure to leave your questions, comments in the journal below so that we can answer them in future episodes. Make sure to like and subscribe, especially on iTunes, where you can leave a review for us so that more people can hear these podcasts. Again, my name is Matt Buholtz, and you can find me on DeviantArt at GGMattB, and thank you for joining us. Bye.